Good morning. This is February 2nd, 2020, about 11:30. We have just had our meditation, and if you haven't had your meditation, perhaps you're in a part of the world that can't get up that early. In that case, have one now. Pause this talk and just stop. Have your meditation, and once you feel that inner movement, then you know that God is on the field, or Christ is flowing, or I am. Then you can listen to this talk, and what you need to hear will be revealed. But it won't be revealed by me, it will be revealed by the Christ, by the Father within. Okay, so we're about to wrap up this wonderful book, Leave Your Nets, which of course means leave your mortality, leave your personal sense of I, personal sense of self, leave your material sense of universe, leave your corporeal sense of universe. Just that, only that. There's two chapters to go. Today's is kind of long, but the one next week is only 2.5 pages. This is chapter 15, called The New Discipleship. And disciple comes from the word discipline. And trust me, this chapter is about disciplining yourself. So, let us enter into the consciousness of he who expressed this chapter. It says there must come a time in the experience of every seeker when he no longer tries to gain anything for himself, but rather tries to help reveal this Christ that he has beheld to those now seeking it who have not yet seen it. All those who are teachers or leaders have in a measure beheld the Christ, and the only reason they have turned to teaching or to the healing ministry is to reveal that Christ to the rest of the world. That is the function of everyone on this path. But it is not through the human mind that the revelation comes. There must be a deeper consciousness that says to us, I behold the Christ. I behold the Christ, even though the world tries to crucify and place it in a tomb and put a stone there and seal that tomb. Yet I see the Christ walking the streets. That is the inner vision. That is spiritual vision, and that is the vision necessary for a complete and utter reliance on the Christ. Nothing less will bring about healing. But when we have that, the Christ performs its function in the consciousness of both the teacher and the student. Okay, so he's already told you that you have to have the inner vision of the Christ, where people see a tomb of humanhood. You must discipline yourself to see the Christ. I walked around for months and months saying within myself, silently, every time I saw someone, where you appear to be, I am. And you, in your way, must come to the same inner vision. That was one of the disciplines. The other discipline is to rely completely, utter reliance on the Christ, he calls it. If our faces show forth just a little bit of the glory of God, if our lives attest to the fact that we have found a principle to live by, and there's the discipline, living by this principle, not living the way other humans live. We have found a principle to live by, then we may be assured that in the years to come we will reap 2, 4, 8, 10, 12 or more of those eager to know what it is we have found, eager to share in it, and eager to be taught. That must be our gift to the world. That must be our contribution to the world. At first it seems very selfish that we should not concern ourselves with the world, but with showing forth our understanding of the power of grace in spiritual living. Yes, I know that sounds selfish, but we do not have too much to offer this world until we have some evidence of the fruitage of these principles. And our next series of talks is going to be on 30 of those principles. Just to offer the world words and books is not offering it very much. We have to offer it understanding. And when we have enough understanding to go to others, showing forth the fruitage of a life by grace, then one of these days the world will be eager to have it. Now this next two lines is your cone, K-O-A-N. Something for you to meditate on, something for you to contemplate. And I'm doing the same. The greatest force, the greatest power on earth is grace. Grace, which is the love of God for God's children, is the only real power there is. That's just tremendous. Grace is the only power that is, and grace is the love of God for His children. Now, are we God's children? That's the question. Are you God's child? Am I God's child? What are the evidences of that? Let's go look. Here we have Romans 8, and Paul says, "For they that are after the flesh," that's humanhood, "do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if you are walking around in a human mind, living a life of humanhood, well, that leads to death. Every human must die. But to be spiritually minded is life. Life. But, says Paul, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So in your meditations, if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, then you are in the Spirit. And finally, he says, as many as are led by that Spirit within, Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh-ho! Let's go back and look. Joel says, grace, which is the love of God for God's children, is the only real power there is. So the only real power is God's love for His children. And you are His child if you dwell in Spirit, and the Spirit dwells in you. Then you are led by the Spirit, and you are the child of God. Now, We ask this question: how do we get God's love? You can't. You can't. As a human being, you can't get it. You remember in the Wisdoms, God is not in the human scene. If you understood the significance of this statement, you could lay down your life and pick it up again. Of course, because if you really understood the significance of it, you wouldn't be living in the human scene. You would discipline yourselves to behold the Christ, and you would dwell in the Spirit, and you would be led by the Spirit, and you would be the child of God receiving the love of the Father. A human being doesn't receive it, but the spiritual Son of God, the spiritual child of God, the spiritual expression of God, receives nothing but the love of God. And that is the only power in that consciousness. You see? There is a discipline, a discipleship. And this is called the new discipleship. And Joel continues. He says, in other words, if at this moment I have no one upon whom to depend, no one to look to, no one to ask anything of, no one from whom to expect anything, then my good must come from the Father within, and it must come as the gift of God. And so here again we see, how do I live in the Spirit? And how am I led of the Spirit so that I can be the child of God? Well, I must have no one upon which to depend. No one to look to, no one to ask anything of, no one to expect anything, only from the Father within. Humanly, I do not deserve it, and humanly, I have done nothing to earn it. It comes as the grace of God, as the love of God for His own child. So, in my aloneness with God, I find myself to be the child of God, looking only to the Father within for my good. Okay, so in your aloneness with God means in your seeing only God, resting in God, allowing God to flow through, being led by God. Then you are the expression of God. Healing, restoration, resurrection, redemption, support, maintenance, supply, success, harmony, peace, joy, protection, safety, and security. That's what flows from God. We don't pray for it. We don't ask for it. But in our quiet communion, realizing that the love of God must be all-embracing, that the love of God must be all-sufficient for the child of God, which I am, I have no need for any other sufficiency. His grace is sufficient for me. All right, so as I abide in this communion with the Father, I look only to the Father within, expecting only the outflow of His love. I hold no man in condemnation or in bondage to any obligation. I forgive everybody any obligation, so that whatever he shares with me is shared not because of a responsibility, a duty, or even a relationship, but only through free will as a free offering of love. See, the Father's love flows forth. And since God is omnipresent, the love flows omnipresent and comes through those instruments all over the universe and flows to you. Then, he says, I go about my business performing every task, duty, and obligation in the realization that God is fulfilling itself. Now, that takes effort. In the beginning, That's why I walked around within myself, saying, where you appear to be, I am. I had to find a way to see through the image world into the invisible, and so I practiced at first just with the words or the thoughts until there was a great movement within and I began to see into the invisible. And yes, miracles flowed forth. So he says, in every walk of life, whether we are selling goods, marketing, housekeeping, or driving a car, whatever we are doing, as we give up the use of the word I, that little I, and realize that it truly is the Christ that is functioning us and through us out onto the world, in that degree are we giving up the self. In that degree are we dying daily to the sense of personal self, personal powers, personal privileges, personal rights, personal benevolences. We are realizing ourselves as activities of the Christ. You see? It wasn't enough just to look at you and say, where you appear to be, I am. At the end of that, I would turn within and say, Father, flow forth, because where you appear to be, I am, and I am also within. See, these words are not important. It's an altitude of prayer. And so choose your own words that work for you, so long as you realize that what the senses are showing you is not the real. And behind it, or as you see through it into the invisible, then you can behold the real. And the same with you. This form is not the real. This form is a mental image, but behind this mental image is that spiritual self at the center of my being, and I know it, and I feel it, and I am it. And so, in his words, we are realizing ourselves as activities of the Christ. This new dimension, he calls it, is a dimension in which all earthly powers are proved to be no power by the Christ, by that which is neither might nor power, but which is the all-power of the Spirit. It is a relaxing of might. You do not have to work that hard. Let go. It's a relaxing of power, a relaxing of personal sense, in the realization that this invisible and to sense intangible is really the only presence and power in our world. And so we must take this sentence over here into our meditation this week. Grace, which is the love of God for God's children, is the only real power there is. Think of that. Look at that. That is the overcoming of the world, and it is the overcoming of personal sense. Sometimes I like to reverse his sentences. When we overcome personal sense, we overcome the world. Christ Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. When you overcome personal sense, you have overcome the world with Christ. Do you not see, asked Joel, do you not see, too, that the I announcing and proclaiming its weaknesses, inability, or great humility is just as much a personal sense as I announcing its greatness and claiming credit for something? Claim no credit, but claim no failure. I have called you. As the disciples went forth on their mission, they were not depending on themselves. They were depending on the He who had called them. What they really meant was that the power that called them into their missionary work was the power that performed it. I have a feeling that that was one of Joel's great realizations. He performed that which is appointed for me to do. By His name, by the nature of the Christ, are healings and harmonies achieved. Yes, name means nature. Pray in His name. Pray as a child of God. Pray as one being led by the Spirit and letting the Spirit make intercession. By His name, by His nature, are healings and harmonies achieved. That involves giving up the use of the word I, the little I, and the realization that the one I is He that calls us. We drop the use of the word I and realize He that called me is the power. Now see, that takes practice. That's practicing a principle. Dropping the little sense of I, the human, the personal sense of self, and realizing it is the impersonal I, the omnipresent I, that is living itself. Paul did it. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. This is a practice. You practice this until you come into the realization of it. He says it is better that this realization come gradually, so as not to startle us into some great belief in our own integrity or our own spirituality. That is why the spiritual awakening is very often a slow process. It is perhaps purposely slow, so that we may not be startled by too great a witness of miracles, and then believe that by our might or our power we have achieved these great things. Yes, I remember in the first year on the spiritual path, I got quite a big head, and I thought I was really something. I knew all these things intellectually, and I even proved some of them. I was writing a paper that my spiritual guide said he wanted a copy of. Oh, I was something. I had arrived. And I was headed for a big fall. And I did. I fell. And fell down deep. And I remember the same spiritual guide saying to me, with love, perhaps you have gone through this now, so you don't have to go through it later. Everyone on this path must go through this. And so be grateful that you're going through it now. And boy, I didn't feel grateful. No siree. But he was right. He was right. And I'll tell you more about that later. To witness miraculous healings or overflowing supply coming in, and yet to be able to refrain from personal glory in the achievement, is almost as difficult as for the disciples to refrain from boasting about their power over the devils. Yes. Through the eye of the needle, few there be that enter. The power was working through them, but it could work through them only in proportion to their humility. And the true sense of humility is not any detraction or depreciation of oneself. It is a realization of one's greatness in having been called to be a servant of the Most High. There are no masters in spiritual truth. There are only servants of the power. That is what we are, servants of the power. and anyone who believes himself to be otherwise forfeits whatever of light he may have achieved. Think of that. If you don't know that you are a servant, an instrument, and that it is I living you, if you think that you're something of yourself, you're going to forfeit whatever of light you may have achieved. "I can of mine own self do nothing" was voiced by the one we call Master. He did not call himself Master. Master, however, is a title, just as is practitioner or teacher, and if in that sense the world bestows it upon a person, there's no harm. The harm comes when a person claims to be a master. Yes, and that is why I take issue with the Infinite Way on their website calling Joel Goldsmith a master. There's one master, and it is the I within. Within Joel, within Betty, within Bill, within Bob, within Paul, within Mary, within Barbara. That's the master. And nothing else. Okay, so we don't put little plastic statues of Joel on our dashboards. At least I hope not. In the same way, it takes a great soul to witness temporary defeat or temporary failure and not have a sense of the personal I as having failed. You see that? You see that? Listen. Whether you call yourself great and think you're a master and get a big head like I did, and it has to be smashed down, which it will be, that's a personal sense of life, personal sense of self. But if you go to the other extreme, I've heard people in church say, "I'm just a worm." No, that's the same personal self putting on a different mask. You're not great. You're not a worm. You're nothing of yourself. Christ liveth. Christ. It's always Christ, whether out here looking at them or whether in here looking at I. It is difficult, but it is in those moments of temporary failure and temporary setbacks that the disciple must remember. It's not a question of whether I succeed or fail. The Christ that operates and activates me never fails. When you witness failure, you are viewing life from the three-dimensional world of appearances. Drop that, or stop, and soon you will see success coming again. From this very moment, begin to accept yourself as the vine. This is something he wants you to practice. This is part of the discipline, disciplining yourself. You are a disciple. You discipline yourself. Accept yourself as the vine. And from rising early in the morning to retiring late at night, remember that the vine is the instrument through which the Father is pouring its glory into the branches. Yes, I am the vine. But the vine is only a transparency or a nothingness. Having been called as a disciple of the new dimension, you now function as an instrument of the infinite invisible. Whatever your activity may be, you are functioning as the vine, and you are looking to the Father within for continuous support, direction, love, life, and abundance. Not for yourself, because now you are dropping that little self, you see? Even there it wants to wiggle its way in, doesn't it? Oh, yes, that's right, I'm nothing, so I'm looking to the Father for support, direction, love, life, and abundance. I can't wait for the abundance. You're still in a personal sense of self, pal. Still in a personal sense of self, my lady. No, we're functioning as the vine through which the Father pours. Not the Father pours, but the Father pours. It's support, direction, love, life, and abundance to his children. Take the humblest of all attitudes, that of being the vine. So many persons think of the Christ as something that they would like to attain because of its greatness, not realizing that the more of it they attain, the less they become. That's another good cone for you and for me. The more of Christ I attain, the less I become. Wow. Never think for a moment that Jesus looked upon himself as a great man or a savior while he walked the earth. He was a rabbi, and he looked upon himself as a servant of the Most High. He was not glorified in his own lifetime. He was a servant, and his greatness lay in his humility, in his realization of the fact that he was a vine, and that the Father within was the essence of all that flows through the vine to the branches. And he even said that, didn't he? I am the vine. The Father is the husbandman. He demonstrated so clearly that since he was only a servant, no matter what happened to him, the greatness would remain to flow into the hearts, the souls, the minds, and the consciousness of men in proportion to their humility. Yes, it's still flowing. Such a pure vine he was, such a nothingness he was, I of myself can do nothing, that he was the perfect vine. And the consciousness of the Father within, he doeth these works. And God is love, and God is a spirit. That spirit is still flowing, and it will flow forever. My word shall never pass away. I shall never leave you. That was the perfect vine, and we are to go and do likewise, remember, out of his own mouth. The great mystic Lao Tzu tells us that the only way to greatness is to make oneself nothing. The only way to greatness is to make oneself nothing. Now, somewhere in the neighborhood of 16 years ago, I realized that to say to myself, I am nothing, is not correct. The correct statement is, I of myself am nothing. But Christ, through me, can do all things. So I am something when Christ is the I that I am. But I am nothing when self, little self, is the I that's being me. Okay? Now, when you begin to perceive yourself to be the Son of God, never think for a moment that you are in some way glorifying yourself. Oh, no, no, no. You are being humble and announcing your nothingness. But remember that only in the degree that you understand your nothingness can you be the servant of the Most High, the instrument for the flow of God to man. In that humility and nothingness will be your greatness. Yes, so now I want to share an experience I had or a dream that I had that showed me just exactly what this means. I wrote it in my journal here, and it was on May 2nd of 2004, so almost 16 years ago. There was a large audience. This was my dream. There was a large audience, and a spiritual teacher was up in front teaching. I went up and gave him a ferocious hug. While hugging him, I leaned back and looked up into his eyes, and I thought, I love you so much. He looked down at me and then looked again, a double take. And he said, "You really have healed completely, haven't you?" Then he withdrew from my embrace, and he and the others in the audience started to fall on their knees and bow down before me. At first I was very uncomfortable. Wouldn't you be? Of course. I started to object, and everybody stopped. But then I realized it wasn't me that they were bowing down to. They were bowing down to the God within me. Therefore, I relaxed, and I allowed them to recognize and pay tribute and bow down to the God self within me. There was no feeling of ego, just observing them and allowing it to happen. You see, that is so wonderful. If you had been there inside of me, feeling what I was feeling, you would know what a wonderful realization it was, that I did not have to seek their bowing down to me and thinking I was great, but I also did not have to think, oh no, I'm not worthy, and thinking I was not great. I was able to think not at all of a me, and allow them to bow down to the Father within, and simply observe. What a freedom! What a fabulous freedom! And my spiritual guide, 46, 45 years ago, told me, I can remember saying to him, this was after I went through that pride thing, and went through all that and came out the other side and realized I was nothing, nothingness, just an instrument. And I began to have people, after I would give a talk, tell me I was special and this, that, and the other. And I remember going to my spiritual guide and saying, "What do I do?" And he said, "You say, thank you, and that's all. You just say thank you, and then turn within and say, thank you, Father." And so I learned to do that. Thank you. That's what that dream was showing me. You simply say thank you, and then turn within and say, thank you, Father. It's marvelous. It's just wonderful to live in this new dimension. Okay, so he continues on the next page. There are those who believe that we are almost insulting God to call ourselves the sons of God, or the Christ. This we do not do lightly, nor would we ever voice it in public. Ah, but within ourselves, we know that the Christ is our true being and our real nature, and that as such we are the sons of God. Instead of exalting ourselves high above our fellow man, we are really submitting ourselves as servants unto him. And if I am anything to you, that's what I am, a servant. We enter the new dimension, Christ. Now, he just put one by us there if we read the paragraph rapidly, but if we look at it slowly, he just said Christ is the new dimension, and we enter that new dimension. Only when we enter it in the humility that knows I can of my own self do nothing. I am but an instrument through which infinite good is flowing into human consciousness. Whatever our particular work in life may be, let us undertake it in the realization that we are instruments for the activity and flow of the divine, and then let it operate. Yes. And let us be sure when it does that we do not take personal credit. Yep. And don't assume personal responsibility. All right. There may be periods of rest. They may not be periods of bareness. They may be periods of rest, of further intake. Like the days of the master spent away by himself doing no mighty works. When he came down from the mountaintop, however, he did his mighty works, and probably we will require days, weeks, and months of refreshment, in which we too will have the feeling of doing nothing and accomplishing nothing, while the world is waiting to be redeemed. Let it wait, for ye have the poor always with you. Do not be in too great a hurry to save them. Let them wait until the complete illumination has come to you. The only power you have to help anyone is in proportion to your being filled full, fulfilled of the Christ. Therefore, be not in a hurry to go out until the oil is well stocked in your lantern. Wait, wait, be patient. Okay, this is a very strange way to live, but he is giving us so much in this chapter, the new discipleship. He's giving us so many principles to discipline ourselves with. And this is another one, to not be in a hurry to go save somebody or some people, but to wait. Wait until the Christ really is living you. Then go out in the glory of the Father, in the realization of the Christ, and let it flow. All right. Now down here he talks about in the old days the Christ would put on robes and people would look at that and say, I cannot achieve such great things. But he says the minister and disciple of today and tomorrow will wear only a businessman's suit, or a businesswoman's suit, or a housewife's dress, or a house husband's pants. There will be nothing about the minister or the disciple to set him apart from other men and women. And that should be true. I am very, very, very leery of anyone I see walking around with the in special robes and having a great entourage. And I just don't buy it. You remember when that lady went to the well and Christ Jesus was sitting on the edge and he said, give me to drink? That was just her and him and the Christ speaking through him. If you knew who I was and asked, I would give you living waters, springing up into life everlasting. A wellspring of water, springing up into life everlasting. It was just the two of them and the well, and the dust and dirt of the desert. There was no robes and entourage. And today, we're sitting in the clothes of today. We're not putting on saffron robes, unless maybe we are a Tibetan monk. Okay, so he says, unless the world can say, oh, you're a man, just like I am, but you can live this life, therefore there's hope for me. Only in that way can the activity of the Christ be of benefit to the world today. No one of himself can do anything. No one of himself should feel that he is important to the world. No one of himself should feel a call to the world. Let the Christ be the call. And then, when that call comes, let us be willing to retire often enough from the world to be refilled and to receive a greater awareness of the activity of the Christ. Now that's why we have our Sunday meditation, to be filled of the Christ, so that you can be an instrument. You might as well take Joel's word and mine and Jesus, really, that you're never going to be anything more than a servant of the Most High. And yet, as a servant of the Most High, all your needs are met. Well, I'm getting into the next chapter, the robe. I better put that off till next week. All your needs will be met. Now, having been called to be fishers of men, we will have to do it in the way of the new ministry, the way of the new discipleship. And that, of course, is what he has written here and spoken. We must discipline ourselves to realize, of myself I am nothing, but the Father within, he doeth the works. Christ liveth my life, and I take the time, the effort, to practice that principle throughout my day wherever I find myself. I was going to the factory and saying 100 times easily a day, how may I best be of service? Thy will be done through me. Nobody knew I was doing it. And yet, the plant manager at one point came out and personally thanked me for the job I was doing. You see? Now that's demonstration. That's demonstrating what Christ can do so that others around you see it. All right, so we discipline ourselves. We are a new disciple. Discipleship. This is the new discipleship. And we discipline ourselves with the principles we have outlined in this chapter. Today it is the Christ that is being glorified, not the messenger or minister of the Christ, not the disciple of nor the disciple of the Christ, but the Christ, the Spirit of God in man. That Spirit of God will appear in the low and in the high, the up and the down, the sick and the well, the rich and the poor. Why? Because all these things are but appearances. Actually, the Christ appears as the very Son of God itself, regardless of any outer mask, costume, or appearance, or persona. We are fishers of men, and we have been called. We have been called to witness the activity of the Christ, not to witness the glory of a man or a woman. We have been called to witness the power and the glory of the Christ, and to acknowledge ourselves as instruments of that Christ within our own being, but always to the world to keep our finger on the lips. I want to share with you another dream I had shortly after this one that I already shared. That was in May 2nd of 04. This was in September, on September 23rd of 04. The Dream. I was in a bookstore. There was a homeless man on the floor, covered with sores all over his body and face. I lay down next to him, and we talked of spiritual topics. I felt the presence, warm and healing, flow through my hip and into that man. He sat up suddenly and said, "What's that? What is that?" I smiled and said, "Grace." I kissed him on his cheek between the cracks and sores. He kissed me in return on the lips, and I woke up in the night. Now that would be my consciousness showing me that I am but a servant of the Most High. I serve first Christ by allowing Christ to fill me with itself and flow through as grace, and I serve his children by looking through the appearance, no matter how ugly, and beholding the Christ there and allowing the Christ to flow through me, through them. And that's a very special dream that I had to show me these principles. Very special, two dreams. And I get taught by dreams. All right, let's have a meditation. We close our eyes. And first I feel the need to say, "Thank you, Father, of myself, of my human self, I am nothing. But in the stillness in my inner being here, where I rest now, in the silence, I receive the living Spirit of God, the Christ, the new dimension, and it flows into me and through me, and I know I can do all things through Christ, and that I live, yet no longer I, but Christ liveth my life. And I rest, because I do not have to work hard. And I am silent, because I am going to stop. And I bear witness, because the Christ is flowing. Thank you, Father." Yes, some of my greatest inner realizations have come from working with these principles which we covered today. From simply being available, "Father, how may I best be of service? Father, fulfill thyself. Christ liveth in me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." and carry that with you out into your office, out on the highway, out in the library. Carry it with you to the homeless man, but carry it with you to the vice president of your organization that feels he's really special. Carry it to everyone, that is, to all appearing, but only one. Walk with it. Take it into your meditation. How can I live this principle? How can I be the vine? What is the vine? Let me contemplate that. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Maybe I should go back to John and read that. Now here's the teaching from both sides. I'm supposed to be a vine, and John, who was a vine, is a vine. In John 15 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now, is that not the same principles we just ingested for an hour? And so if I'm living as the vine, I'm abiding in that inner I, and that I is abiding in me. Then I bring forth, the I brings forth much fruit. And without that I, we can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's what Paul said. Living in humanhood leads to death. But what if I don't live as a branch anymore? What if I live as the vine? If ye abide in me, and my word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The new discipleship. We shall be his disciples, the disciple of the I. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Well, that's just what we read, isn't it? The only power on earth, the only real power, is grace, the love of the Father for his children, or the love of I to ye. Yes, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his personal sense of life and be a servant for the Most High unto his friends. Greater love has no one, because all personal love, your personal love of your parents, your personal love of your animals, of your friends, of your children, of your partner or spouse, friends, even enemies, your personal love, I'm afraid, is nothing. But what of the impersonal love of the I flowing to ye? What of that one? What of the one that goes within and recognizes, yes, now I within am the vine, so flow forth to whomsoever you will. And that one becomes an instrument for real love, for the love of the Father unto his children. That one becomes an instrument for the only real power, in heaven or on earth. The love of the Father for his children. Grace. Thank you.